All right, thank you for that, Mark. We've been having some of our guys, our pastoral staff, speaking about some of our ministries on Thursday night, tying into our theme. And Brother Chim heads up our school. By the way, a Christian school is important. We don't have a Christian school because it's a moneymaker, because it's not. We don't have a Christian school because it's fun. Now, I enjoy being with the kids, and I have them around here, but it's a lot of work. And our staff members don't work in a Christian school because they're getting rich, because they're not, all right? And if they are getting rich, they're probably selling something on the side. But it's vitally important, and so it's important that we understand that and we work together as a church, as a family, and as a school. And so Brother Chim's going to come tonight.
Amen. Okay, please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 24. Going to read quite a few verses there. Now, I do want to comment on something Pastor Meyer said. The Christian school is not there to be a moneymaker. We do plan on changing that this September. Some slot machines will be added in the men's restroom. And so if you can help support the cause there. Just kidding, all right? We will not do that. But Genesis chapter number 24, we're going to read about 27 verses here. Now, hopefully that doesn't scare anybody away. I heard someone say they didn't have their devotions yet, so we'll make up for that right now. And then I'm going to hope to tie this passage of Scripture into the title of the message. Now, I'm going to promise you that initially it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. But hopefully somewhere down the line within the next 30 minutes it will make sense. But as Pastor Myers mentioned, our goal tonight is to convey Pacific Baptist School's part in reaching them and teaching them, and I hope that I can accomplish that. But Genesis chapter number 24, let's all stand together, please. Take some time to stretch here in honor of God's word as well. Genesis chapter number 24, I'm just going to read all these verses myself here. The Bible says in Genesis 24, verse number 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that thou swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that manner. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of my water, and by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down my pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. If you're with me still, say amen, amen. Thank you. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. Does that sound familiar? And verse number 20, And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water and drew all for his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." And can you say these next several words together, please? "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and that we can glean so much truth from thy word. I pray, dear God, that tonight, as we look at your word and try to apply it in our hearts in light of our theme this year, I pray, dear God, that you would help me to be clear, help me to be a vessel that you can use, and I pray that tonight we will focus on the message at hand. We love you, and we always thank you for all the good and the wonderful things you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned, the theme or the title tonight is Reaching Them, Teaching Them Through Pacific Baptist School. But before I talk about the title or Pacific Baptist School and how it helps us fulfill our theme, let's talk about our theme for a little bit here. What is the core purpose of reaching them and teaching them? It is, in essence, the fulfilling of the work of God. Amen. Reaching people for Christ and teaching them the Word of God, teaching them to be soul winners themselves, teaching them how to have godly families, teaching them how to have godly marriages. And this can be referred to as the cause of Christ, and I will use that interchangeably. We must understand that the greatest thing that we can do as a Christian is to position ourselves. And that key word there, position, is going to be used all throughout the night. And I want us to catch a hold of the definition of that. The goal of every Christian ought to be to position ourselves in such a way that God can use us to fulfill his purpose of reaching them and teaching them. And by the way, I believe many people get frustrated because they end up wasting their substance, wasting their life for another cause, not the cause of Christ. And there may be temporary happiness that comes with that wrong cause, but ultimately God created us for his cause. Living for God and his cause is what we were created to do, as I mentioned. It is the best thing we can do. Anything else that we strive to do will be subpar. It will yield less fulfilling results. It will yield less rewarding results and be less enjoyable. The key to fulfilling our theme of reaching them and teaching them is all about this key word of position. Can I get you to say position? The main reason why people don't serve God is because they have not made the necessary decisions to properly position themselves in such a way so that God can bless them and so that God can use them. I remember when we played basketball, and I was never a very big guy, even though I tell the teenagers all the time, I partially tell the truth. Actually, there's no truth in this at all. When I was younger in high school, Brother Chin was buff until they got a hold of my yearbook, amen, and they saw that I was even skinnier than this. But I remember that the coaches would always yell at us during basketball time or whenever there was a rebound, "Box out! Box out! Get in the right position." You know why? Because if you were not in the right position, you were not going to get that rebound. If you were not positioning yourselves by putting yourself in front of the opponent and boxing them out, you would allow the rebound to go to the opponent. Well, I believe the same can be applied in the Christian life. One of our biggest mistakes is that we don't box out as a Christian, if you will. We don't properly position ourselves, and therefore God cannot possibly bless us and use us. I hope that we can get that there. The main reason why people don't serve God, as mentioned to you, is because they don't position themselves properly. For example, if we don't properly put ourselves in position to have daily dedicated prayer time every single day, there will be limited opportunity for God to speak to us. The reason why I go to the Word of God, not only because God tells me to, is because I want God to speak to me every time I open up the Bible. But if I do not position myself and have a time at home or have a time in my office in which I spend time in the Word of God on a daily basis, guess what? I'm limiting how many opportunities God truly has to bless me, to use me, to speak to me on how I can help reach them and teach them. If we don't properly put ourselves in position to have uninterrupted time in daily prayer, I am not properly positioning myself for God to speak to my heart, for God to unify my heart with His, for God to give me the desires of my heart, for God to teach me the things that I should do through prayer time. Positioning is very, very important. If we are not positioned properly in a good local church like Pacific Baptist Church, there will not be sufficient Bible teaching from people like our pastor that encourages us and reminds us that the Great Commission is not just a request from God. It is a commandment. It is a commandment. But thank God for Pacific Baptist Church. And if you're positioned at Pacific Baptist Church, we don't have an excuse not to go reach them and teach them. God is teaching us to do so through this ministry here. If we don't position ourselves to live in obedience to God's word and God-given authority, there will be no willingness to reach them and teach them. We must be spiritual enough where we see God's cause and God's purpose for what it is by allowing our eyes to affect our heart. The Bible tells us in Lamentations, Jeremiah says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." You know, one of the biggest problems that I face, and one of the biggest problems I believe that we face, is that we've gotten used to what we see. We've gotten used to what we see. We don't allow the people that we come across on the freeways, on the roads, at work, we don't understand that they're more than just a coworker. They're either a saved person or a lost person. We don't view people the way God sees people. We don't see this world the way God sees this world. And if we truly did, our eyes would affect our heart. Let's allow that to happen. I'd like to share some observations from this story before we get into the school here. And all of this is going to help us understand where I'm going with how the school helps us to fulfill our vision. But let me share a couple observations from the passage I just read. I read a lot of scripture there. The first thing that we see in verse number 3 is that Abraham trusted his servant with a tremendous responsibility. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Abraham gave this special task, this awesome responsibility to his servant of finding a wife for his son. How many of you agree that finding the right spouse is an important task? Amen. I believe that too many people view it very flippantly as just a joyride, and as a result, they have a lot of problems. Marrying the right person is crucial, and Abraham understood that. So that was a tremendous responsibility that was laid on the shoulders of this servant. God has also placed a tremendous responsibility in our lives, amen? God has placed tremendous trust in us, and what is that to do? To win the lost to Christ. You know, God has so chosen to use the tool of what we call soul winners, you and I. We are the very tool that God has chosen to use over everything else to go out there and reach the world for Christ, to reach them and teach them. Verse number 4, Abraham gave very specific orders. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Well, guess what? God has given us very specific orders. The Bible says in your notes there, Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So what was the specific commandments that God gave us? Go, teach, baptize, teach. Verse number 7, Abraham assured his servant that God would be with him. Verse number 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Thank God that as God gives us this great commission, this great and worthy goal of reaching them and teach them, that God promises his presence with us. Amen. The Bible says in the verse that I read a little while ago in Matthew, lo, I am with you always. Thank God that whatever God calls me to do, he not only equips me to do it, but he equips me with his presence. Yep. Praise God for that. We don't have to do it alone. Verse number 9, the servant took on the challenge and gave Abraham his commitment to the task. And we're not going to read that right now, but by putting his hand under the thigh of Abraham, what a unique way of showing commitment to do something, amen? Thank God we don't have to do that now, amen? But the servant had to put his hand under Abraham's thigh and basically swear that he was going to do this task. We too have the responsibility of responding to God. The command is there, but are we going to respond accordingly? Are we going to commit to it? And all of us have our opportunity to respond the way that we'd like, and I would hope to think that we would take the test. Verse number 10, the servant was not empty-handed on this mission. He was equipped with all the goods of his master. We read a little while ago. Well, guess what? We too are not empty-handed. God has equipped us with the gospel and with his presence, as I mentioned. Verse number 12 to 14, the servant made the task a spiritual matter by praying about it. I want to read that at least. Verse number 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So Abraham had given his servant a task, and what did he do about it? He didn't just go out there and try to do it in his own power. He prayed, and he asked God for his involvement. We must understand that reaching people and teaching people is a very spiritual matter. And I believe that one of the dangers that Christians, good Christians that want to do the work of God, fall into is that we start to serve God very mechanically. We start to serve God for the outer purpose of people viewing our ministry, our Sunday school class, our bus route, our school, our church, and viewing the visual things like the numbers and the attendance, and make them think that as a result of the outward things, we are doing the work of God. It's a very spiritual matter. Lost souls are at stake. Families are at stake. All that you do, pray about it. Get God involved. When's the last time, bus captain, that you prayed for your bus route fervently and a tear came out of your eyes? When's the last time you prayed for your Sunday school students? This past week, I had a great time with a couple members of my class and hearing some of the tremendous needs they have in their class. I'm glad that it's a spiritual thing, because if it was left to me and my wife, we would not be able to help them. It takes God, amen? So as we reach them and teach them, pray about God giving people to you, giving you the power to fulfill his task. Do you pray to see people saved? Do you pray about having someone to disciple, someone to teach? God heard the servant's prayer in verse number 15 and answered accordingly. One of the best ways I wrote down here to get God to answer your prayers, listen, everybody wants answered prayer. And sometimes we complain about God not answering our prayer. Well, what are you praying about? What are you praying about? Yeah. I tell you, one of the quickest ways to get prayers answered is praying about the things that God wants fulfilled in your life. One challenge I have for you is pray to be a blessing. You'll have someone ask you for a dollar, I promise you. Pray that God can use you. Someone will ask you for a ride home. Pray about the right things and God will answer it. I believe we need to pray for God to do something great in every one of our lives, not just corporately as a church, but individually to help us reach them and teach them. And I'm getting to the message here. Getting to the place where we reach them and teach them doesn't just happen by osmosis. Doesn't happen just because we're in a good church. Doesn't happen because we're in a Christian family. It must be taught us. It must be learned by us. It must be cultivated within us. In other words, we must position ourselves in the way so that God can lead us. Now for the message. Our goal at PBS is to work alongside the church and the home to train our students to love God, love others, serve God, and serve others. You can read it in Spanish there, or you can read it over here in English, amen? That's the goal. And by the way, we are partners. And let me say this, we can't do it alone. We cannot do it alone. If there's a parent out there that thinks that putting your kid in the school is going to automatically cause them to live for God and make all the right decisions, it doesn't work that way. We've got to team up with one another. The kids that make it the most, I think about my nephew being up here, and he's a great example of this. The kids that make it the most are the ones where the parents are on board and the school's on board and the church is on board and everybody's working together for what purpose? To produce a young person that loves God, that will serve God for the rest of their lives. Can't have one bickering at the other or criticizing the other, because you tear down the purpose of this teamwork. It just doesn't work that way. But we want to work alongside the church and the home, but that means we all have to go the same direction. One of the worst scenarios is when the school is trying to train our kids to live for God, and the church is, the youth group is trying to push our kids to live for God, and then the parents are doing things at home and cussing and watching bad movies and making horrible decisions and thinking that their compromising wicked lifestyle can be overlooked by the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God at church. No, the only thing that produces is a confused child. That's it. And listen, it would be better for that child to come from an unsafe home, because at least they can rationalize. But when it's a Christian home, they start to think, wait a minute, well, I don't understand. She's a Christian and he's a Christian, but look at what they're doing. And I go to church and Brother Chim and Pastor Myers, they're preaching on this. I don't get it. Let's just all get on board. How about that? How about that? How exactly does PBS help position our students to reach them and teach them? Number one, by positioning our students to be led by God. By positioning our students to be led by God. So what do you mean? We got chapel services. Okay, elementary, Friday. I really appreciate how Brother Jeremy sets that up. He teaches practical principles that help the young people. It's relevant to them and their age for elementary. On Thursdays, we have junior high and high school Bible time. So what's so great about chapel services? Well, it's an opportunity for your young person to hear the Word of God and respond to the Word of God. Amen? And then there's Bible class. Brother Daniel teaches Bible class Monday through Wednesday, and he teaches very practical things that help our young people be positioned in a place where they can hear the Word of God, have seeds planted in their heart, and Lord willing, get some watering at home, and get some watering at church, and get some watering at school, and over and over and over again, and they can produce some godly fruit in their lives. Amen. That is the goal there. We have a Christian environment. Most of our teachers are saved. Just kidding. All of them are saved, all right? But hey, listen, they don't have to worry about singing a hymnal in the hallway. Okay? They're not gonna be and they're really off tune, and someone might make fun of them, okay? But then they can just sing in their heart, all right? That's fine too. But no one's gonna make fun of them if they open up a Bible and they decide that they want to give the first 10 minutes of their lunch to reading the Bible. No one's gonna criticize them for that. Praise God for that. Christian environment. The educators are also spiritual leaders that they can go to for advice. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I'm especially excited about with my kids being in school is that their teachers are saved. Yep. And that I can trust them. Yep. And that if my kid, for whatever reason, something was bothering them, and maybe, you know, right now there's nothing really bothering them in life, amen, because they're still young. But when they get older, they can go up to their teacher and say, can you pray for this? I have kids all the time tell me, can you pray for my mom? My grandma's sick. So-and-so just passed away. Thank God that they can go to their principal and their teacher and that we can pray for them. I had some kids in my office today talking about some things that they want to give up, some language they want to put away. Thank God that I'm not just there as a disciplinarian, but I can be there to cultivate an interest for God. We try to have a Christian and godly environment here. Spirituality is emphasized. It's not a bad thing when your kids say amen in church and chapel. We promote that. We push that. And then our students cannot reach them and teach them if they are not spiritual. Then number one, by positioning our students to be led by God. Number two, by positioning our students to be soul winners. The mandatory soul winning, now mandatory is never a good word, but follow me here. The mandatory soul winning time helps create a pattern. Can you say pattern? In soul winning that will be carried on until adulthood. Now you're going to have to help me out here.
I remember a couple years ago, there was a parent that came with a complaint, and I was, you know, listen, I'm all for complaints. We want to get better, but this one kind of just almost knocked me off my feet. The parent said, I have a problem that the junior high and high school is required to go soul winning. I said, oh, my soul. Let's fix that. Miss Hannah, can we get some withdrawal notices here? Amen. But I said, so what's the problem? I believe that our junior hires and high schoolers ought to choose to go soul winning on their own. Okay, that's good. Do they choose to be in the school? Okay, because in our school, and here's what I told them, and I think they agreed to disagree with me, but I think they understood my point. I said, you know, kids are very moldable, and one of the best things that we can do with our children is put them in situations where they learn to create some godly patterns. Because you and I can both agree as adults that some of the worst things about Charlie Chim are bad patterns that I had from childhood. And God forbid that soul winning would be one of the bad patterns. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. The mandatory soul winning helps create a pattern in soul winning that will be carried on until adulthood. One of the most important things that we can do as a Christian is go soul winning. And one of the reasons why, and adults will tell you, why they don't go soul winning is because they have not created a pattern of soul winning. Listen, I tie my shoes a certain way. Why? Pattern. I brush my teeth with my left hand a certain way. Why? Pattern. I eat with the same hand. Why? Pattern. I put my pants on one leg at a time. Why? Pattern. Okay, what we do is by pattern. I read my Bible. Why? I created some patterns. I pray. Why? I've created some patterns. One of the best things we can do is to teach our children to have those godly pattern of soul winning. The Christian school gives our teens a tremendous advantage as a Christian because of this. By the way, our students cannot reach them and teach them if they do not have a habit of soul winning. They just wouldn't want to do it. And let me say this. I know my nephew has, and Daniel has, and a couple others, several others. They have a regular habit of bringing adults to church as teenagers. Okay? One of the hardest things to do is bring adults to church. I'll tell you that right now. It's not that hard for me to win people to the Lord out in the streets. Okay? But I don't know how many souls I can win to the Lord by the time for me to be able to bring him in the church. It's just the way that it is. People will get saved. People will cry, and people want to accept the Lord and give up their sins right then and there. You try to get him in church, it's just a little bit tougher. But our teenagers are learning how to do that as a teenager. Praise God for that. By the way, what a great challenge that is for us as adults. Let's see if we can get someone in church. When's the last time we got someone in church? Next, number three. I know this isn't too exciting here, but Pastor Myers asked me to teach on this subject, okay? So here we go. How does Pacific Baptist School help us reach them and teach them? By positioning our students to be taught the Word of God on a daily basis. Okay? Bible class. They get that Bible knowledge. They're learning about the Bible. This is supposed to be our guide. This is supposed to be our life book. But many of us, if we don't take the time to open it, to learn from it, we're not going to know anything about it. It's very important. Bible knowledge is important. Of course, there's chapel service and Bible-based curriculum. We're not teaching that in our school that we came from monkeys. Amen. Some people may look like monkeys, but we did not come from monkeys. All right, we came from God, all right? And then our students cannot teach them or reach them if you do not know the Bible. How do you teach someone if you don't know the Bible? Again, all of this positions our students to be successful with our goal. Number four, by positioning our students to make a habit of attending church. I smile because this is a big one. Church attendance is a foundational core value that every student has to have. Okay? And again, some of the struggles that we have sometimes is when people are new to our school, why do we have to go to church all the time? Because church is important. And there's no way that we can help anybody if they don't place God as a priority. I've learned that. And by the way, Pastor Myers is with me on this. Actually, I'm with him on this. Church attendance is important. I believe one of the biggest mistakes we do is find every excuse not to be in church. Every opportunity, there's a little sniffle. Oh, they're sick. They're sick. I got to stay home. Now listen, we don't want anyone to get sick. Don't come here if you have some kind of crazy disease and all that stuff. However, don't look for every opportunity to create patterns to miss church. Church attendance is very, very important. That's where you get taught the Word of God. That's where your child could get saved. That's where your child could be called to full-time ministry or to do anything for the Lord. That is very, very important. And that's promoted and emphasized in our church, in our school. You can't just miss church. You miss church, you get demerits. There's a reason for that. Why? It's important. If you don't want to come to church, then the school is not a good place for you. Okay, next. We can't help anybody, as I mentioned, that doesn't make God the priority. And then, of course, our students cannot learn to reach them and teach them if they are not assimilating in a good local church where they see it happening on a weekly basis. Number five, we're almost done. How does Pacific Baptist School help us with our goal of reaching them and teaching them? By positioning our students to form character. By positioning our students to form character. This is done by giving students deadlines. Okay, we all know what deadlines are, right? Those of us that have credit cards. All those mailers that come in, those are reminders that you owe somebody money. Amen, Brother George? I'm not using him for any other purpose. Maybe I am. I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to lie up here, but talk to me later about it. Let me say this. There's a lot of Brother Georges in here. Just happen to be looking at him. That's besides the point. Good man. Where am I at here? by positioning our students to form character. This is done by giving deadlines. Listen, when we give our students deadlines and they don't like it, there's a reason for that. Because we show them that when they're out in the real world, when they're an adult, they have bills, there are deadlines. When there's a mortgage, there's a deadline. When you have to pay your bill, you can't just say, Ms. Torres, I'm going to turn it in late. You can, but you might be evicted, okay? There's going to be some problems. Your credit score is going to be like double digit, okay? That's not going to be good if that's even possible. But giving them deadlines for homework, for permission slips, for projects. And listen, everybody occasionally has this disease of procrastination. How do you know this is true? I'm not going to give examples for the church, but I know it's true all the time. I remember in Legoland one time. Legoland, the deadline is, let's just say, March 10th. How many, if you want to sign up and go to Legoland, pay by March 10th. It's like February, you know, 20th, five people sign up. I remember one year, you know, it was March 8th. Man, we were up to like 65 people. I'm thinking, that is not good. I need more than 65 people. I kid you not, Miss Susan Lomkako is not in here. March 10th, I had to teach two classes that day. We went from 62 or 65 to 175. It was crazy. You say, did you stay there all day to collect the money? It was money, amen. Come on now. And we stayed there at the, man, it was crazy. But you know why? Procrastination. Yeah. College students, can I borrow your printer, Brother Chim? I need to print this out. What's your report due? 5 minutes, hurry up, Brother Chim. What's your password? It's like, good night. Procrastination. By the way, we're laughing, but as adults, we fall into that trap as well. We wait till the last minute to do things. Well, we're trying to teach our students character. That's why we give them deadlines. This is done by giving students deadlines. This is done by giving students proper disciplinary action when needed. Man, I know some people are scared of that word, disciplinary action, okay? But discipline is important for children, amen? Oh, my soul. Discipline, okay. Discipline is important. And the problem, they have this generation called snowflakes, and I don't look into all that stuff. I thought it was snowflakes or something. You get it like Big Bear, or there's a snowy monster, like a little boba place over there. Other than that, people that are just offended for, you breathe, you look at them wrong, they're offended. You know why? No one ever told them they couldn't do anything when they were younger. They're climbing up the side of the stairs, and they're like 1 year old, you know, just do whatever they want, and then they get hurt, amen, and that's good for them too. But never, oh, okay, now it's 11 o'clock, it's a good idea to put the game system away now. No, it's fun for me. Okay, all right, I don't want to wound them, I don't want to hurt them, and then they get 3 hours of sleep, and then they go to school, and you wonder why they're getting in trouble at school. They don't have any sleep. Oh, my soul. Anyways, moving right along here. And we blame it on the teacher. The teacher's not getting their attention. That's why they're falling asleep. No, it's because they stayed up all night playing video games. Moving right along here. Disciplinary actions. Demerits are good. Listen, we don't spank people in our school. Amen. I don't want to spank people. The lawsuits nowadays, amen. I'm not trying to get in a lawsuit. We don't spank. And by the way, we don't give people timeout either. In essence, we do suspension. That's a timeout, all right? But demerits, they do wrong, they get a demerit. And here's the key, they choose what they get. You know, there's a couple students lately, not that we ever have a big problem with this, but when they come into my office, they'll tell you, raise your hand if you had this happening, man. And I don't yell at people and all that stuff, but I try to be consistent, which is important in discipline. I lay down the law, I tell them, listen, you got an opportunity to have 1 day suspension, whatever it may be, or a 5 day suspension. They look at me like, huh? Options, cool. I said, depending on how cooperative you are and how honest you are, I'm not going to tell you what I know, but if you're honest and this is an easy conversation, I'll give you 1 day because I feel that you learned a lot of your lesson already, right? But if I got to pull teeth and set up and contact Inspector Gadget and have Miss Gina dress up like a bush and follow you around everywhere you got to go, listen, that's going to 5 days right there, okay? And she may slap you in the back of the head, all right? That's what I'm going to do. And sure enough, most of the time, okay, they'll just tell me everything, their social security number, everything right away. Why? Because they understand that the discipline got their attention. And by the way, that's not a bad thing to practice at home, parents. That really isn't. Use the disciplinary action that will get their attention. Some kids, detention does nothing to them. They laugh. Some kids, 1 day suspension does nothing. But most of the kids, you give them more than that. Oh, Jim, okay, I've read my Bible every single day. I've memorized scripture. Discipline works. It helps to form character. Next, this is done by giving students proper praise when appropriate. I believe in praise, amen? I really, really do. I think some homes are just, you know, they go to town on the discipline, and I believe that there's discipline. And, well, the Bible says that, you know, the rod of correction will drive it out. Well, God also praises. We ought to praise people. Fear of loss, desire of gain, amen. You ought to motivate people with good things. Give them a good word. We do student of the month. We do student of the week. We do, well, I don't think we do that, but anyways, it helps the sermon. We do student of the month. We give merits, and we give kids slime that ends up like messing up desks and all that stuff. So be careful with the slime that you get from school. Not very good quality, all right? Just kidding. I need to pay more for that. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that because I don't buy it. Next. Merits, special outings. We have special field trips. Sometimes we'll take some of the students out that are doing really, really well, and we'll just put on the parents' bill subtly. Next, our students cannot reach them or teach them if they don't have the character to do so. Number six, we're almost done here. How does Pacific Baptist School help us reach our goal of reaching them and teaching them? By positioning our students to follow authority. Ooh. The Bible, I got an ooh out there. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. It is imperative here at PBS that our students stay under authority, amen? We monitor it. We enforce it. I got to go quick because of the time here. I got 2 minutes here. One of the best things that I can teach my children to do is to follow all of their God-given authority. One of the most subtle dangers that parents fall into, and again, I don't think there might be some that don't like what I have to say here. Let me explain. Is that all my kids have to do is listen to me. That's it. And it may work out for you or appear to work out for you for a while until they get a job, until they're in a youth group, until they're trying to have their own church or have their own business, and they don't listen to anybody because they've learned all their life. Just listen to mom and dad. By the way, that doesn't mean that if someone, you know, you tell your kids to do this and someone tells them to do something else. I'm not talking about the conflicting parts. But you want to put your kids under other people's authority. It is very easy for my kids to follow me for different reasons, and I won't elaborate, okay? Very easy. But you know, the joy that I have is when I know my kids are following their teachers. When I know that my kids know how to look at a teacher, when they say do this, they do it. By the way, support that. I remember one time recently, Andy had never, didn't mean to say his name there, but Andy had never said no. He just doesn't say no. But one of his teachers, she's sitting in the back over there. Don't look right now. Okay, go look. Everyone look around. I'm just trying to look. Just kidding. But she had mentioned something that he did that he shouldn't have done. And by the way, I love it. Communication. I love communication. You know why? Because it helps me. You know, however good of a kid Andy is, he can be better now. Right, because his teacher cared enough. And I guess he had said no to one of his TAs. And so what I did is I called that TA up. I called like 5 staff members to try to get her on the phone, not for the purpose of ripping her, but to find out the brevity of what he did, the gravity of what he did, because I wanted to address it properly. And we dealt with it. And by the way, to my knowledge, he hasn't done that again, right? No? Okay, good. Don't mess my sermon up, all right? But he hasn't done it again. You know why? I want him to learn to follow other people's authority. When his pastor's up here preaching the word of God, I don't want him to have to look at me every time. Can I listen to that, Dad? Can I listen to that? That's the man of God right there. Listen to what he has to say, amen? Be very, very careful with that. When we make them only follow our authority, we remove the influence of a God-given pastor, we remove the influence of a God-given youth workers, we remove the influence of God-given teachers, and we will affect how our children will prosper under their future bosses. Last point, and I'm done. Our students will not reach them and teach them if they are not under God-given authority. Last verse. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I hope that in light of this message, we are all encouraged a little bit more that PBS, we're here for you. Amen. Not only for you, but we're here to fulfill the vision of reaching them and teaching them with our young people. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed.